It's international break, but so much to think about. After the woes of game week 29, we have two wildcards active. We discuss waving bye to Watkins, and will I get the fear and press the button too? Hello and welcome to the FPL pod, otherwise this week known as FPL therapy. Yes, we all went through it. We all got excited. Yeah, we did get excited because we played our free hit chip. So many of us did. Anyway, two thirds of this podcast did. Well, the less said about that, the better.
Did you actually play your free hit this week? I can't see it in the, your...
Yes, of course, that is the voice of Julien Laron, who somehow outscored me despite not playing a chip. Sam Bonfield's also here with her head in her hand, Sam.
Sam didn't play a free hit. She didn't play a free hit. She got 15 points. Oh, oh no, you did. That's what. Hey!
Oh, can we get rid of him today, Kel? This is going to be an absolute nightmare. Honestly, what a game week it was. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong.
It all started, didn't it, with a red card for Reguilón very early on into Brentford's disastrous match away at Burnley. Sam, we both went for him and it was, I mean, he was technically the only player in my team that returned. It was just a shame that it had a minus before it.
Oh, Cal, same as me. Yeah, I had him. And the thing is that when that happened, I was like, so I was out and about at the time and it flashed up that there was a penalty to Burnley and I was like, oh no, that's the double clean sheet gone. And then when I looked at it again and there was a red card for him, I was just like, what? Nothing can go, surely the game week can only get better from here. Except it didn't, did it? Because then as the game week went on, we just had all of those players that we sat here last week and said we thought were essential. None of them returned, not a single one of them. It was a hard, hard week. And I think it's just sometimes that happens, right? Sometimes you have a week where your big hitters don't return and it's the differentials that come in. It's just a shame that all of my differentials were sat on my bench. So my bench massively outscored my actual team that I played. But there we are. We live and we learn and we move on.
Okay then, so Sam got 15. I really narrowly beat her with 16. Jules, without playing his chip, got 18. Jules, in the end, tell us how many players you had and who managed to get you almost a high score, I'd say.
I mean, I'm laughing, but it's...
You did take a minus 8, though. You did
actually,
take a minus
sorry,
8.
I've just realised you took a minus 8.
Your so
you
went, points tally, your
no,
points
no,
tally of the season.
Yeah, no, no.
Does. Don't worry.
10.
My team got 18 points. This is the only thing that matters. My points tally for the season got a minus 8, but it's okay. I take that because I still beat you too with 9 players. No free hit played. All about talent and planning. And I will add now vision as well because, I mean, there was no way I'll put Reguilón in my team. I mean, it was
disastrous.
Oh,
no, but Mengi and Doughty got a combined huge total of 3.
Yeah, if you were free hitting this week, you'd 100% would have had Reguilón in your team.
I'm not sure. I'm not a big fan of Reguilón. No, really, I'm not. I'm not a big fan of Reguilón at all. I thought there was a harsh red card, to be fair to you. Although I really encouraged, I shouted so much at the TV that I influenced VR. And the referee to
it's probably you in the VAR room, wasn't it?
It was actually me, you're right. So yeah, it wasn't great, but 18 points when all I care about this week was surviving, really, because I hadn't seen this coming, and to be fair, nobody had. So I thought it would be a low point week because there was only 4 games anyway. And hopefully with the players I had, like Tony and Watkins, which a lot of the managers had, I thought maybe I can just survive and not be actually, not lose too many places. But it was even better than that. So, no, all good.
Let's give you some stats on game week 29 then, because hopefully this will make you feel a little bit better that it wasn't just you that suffered last week. 1,705,262 managers played their free hit chips. 163,599 managers wildcarded to try and navigate the 4 matches. The top 10 most transferred in players, and you can probably count on 2 hands the amount of combined points these players got. Son, Tony, Madison, Bowen, Porro, Doughty, Morris, Flecken, Kudus, and Louise. Yeah, none of them returned. The game week average, Sam, is this the lowest ever?
That's surely.
It's 12.
It's the lowest we've had on record, yeah. Yeah, since we've been keeping records about it, it's the lowest.
So, Sam,
it's
you and I were above average, but because Jules took a minus eight, he actually...
He's below average.
You two are losers. Don't worry.
Yeah, there was the third highest ever number of transfers made in FPL. So it shows that everyone was panicking about the game week and everyone is probably now in the same boat as us. As for the mini league, then, just to confirm what transfer we made, Jules, minus eight, Foden, Haaland and Saka to Kudus, Tony and Bowen. The less said about minus arms, the better.
No, go on, go on. We're really interested. We are all very interested. What happened?
And moving on, congratulations to Ian, who isn't on this week, but he actually had one player who returned. So out of four of us that are regularly on this podcast, that means that there are 44 players that could have returned. One player returned. That was Morgan Gibbs-White for Ian. So congratulations to him. In terms of the FPL Pod Mini League, Stefan extended his lead at the top to 24 points. He got 36 points and had just eight players. He went for someone that we spoke about, Muniz for Solanke, and also had Castagna. Oise sits second with his 15-point free hit. Like I said, it wasn't just us. We also had the FA Cup quarterfinals last weekend, and that was maybe of more interest than the actual FPL action because it's given us a bit more of an indication as to what's to come. Coventry, Manchester City, Manchester United and Chelsea will all play in the FA Cup semi-finals, which are being played on the weekend of the 18th of April. So we know a little bit more, Sam, don't we, about fixtures that will and won't be on in that weekend, which falls in game week 34.
Yeah, and I think it actually, for me anyway, it massively impacted the strategy that I have moving forward, you know, taking on Jules's advice about talent and planning and all that nonsense.
Good for you.
I think game week 34 suddenly feels a little bit different because with Wolves going out, that means Arsenal play in 34. With Liverpool going out, obviously they now play in 34. So suddenly that week that we weren't really sure what it might look like in terms of blanks and doubles feels like it's much, much less likely to have huge amounts of blank game weeks in it, particularly when we look at the teams that have progressed and the fixtures that they have to be rescheduled. So hopefully we'll know in the coming weeks exactly what's happening with those fixtures being rescheduled. But we do now know that obviously Man City and Spurs will be affected, as will Manchester United and Newcastle, and also the game between Brighton and Chelsea, because those teams have made it through. So we'll just have to wait and see whether they move into the middle of that week and stay in game week 34 or whether they move somewhere else.
You said there it's affecting your strategy. Tell us what that strategy is.
Well, I think I said last week that my plan was to hold my wild card to game week 34, maybe 33, and play it then, because at that point we'd have had all the information about the FA Cup. And to be honest, I was expecting that Wolves would beat Coventry and therefore Arsenal wouldn't have a fixture necessarily in 34. And I was expecting that Liverpool might progress in that one as well. So with those two teams going out, it suddenly meant that game week 34 looked like it would be able to be navigated with just transfers at that point. And then I sat down and I wrote what my, I'd already done this obviously in advance, and I wrote a wildcard team for game week 34. If I was playing it in 34, what would it look like? And as Spurs were getting absolutely demolished by Fulham on Saturday evening, my rage levels were growing, and I sat there and I thought, right, let me make a team, a wildcard team now, which I did about 70 minutes into that game. And I looked at it and compared it to the team that was in my notebook, because yes, Jules, rather than scraps of paper, I have an actual notebook of notes.
Me too.
Does actually That's have a bigger one than usual. What's going on?
Loads of notes, all my planning, vision and talent is in there.
Wow. So, and actually it was like there was one player different in the team that I'd created for 34 wildcards. And at that point I thought, well, why am I holding it? Because a lot of these players would also be really, they'd be handy to have now. They've got good fixtures coming up. It saves a minus four into game week 30 as well. So on Saturday night, before the Spurs game had even finished, I hit the wildcard button.
Whoa, like me. So you're following my advice and my steps.
Okay. I didn't expect that.
Yeah. I think the last few weeks, if I'm honest, the last few weeks have been really hard, not just because I've had to see Jules every week, but because actually the game weeks have been difficult, and the players that I've had, I've kind of felt have been the right ones, but then they haven't necessarily returned. And I look at my team and I think there's a lot of players in there who have been useful in the recent weeks because they've had doubles, because they've had, you know, good fixtures at times when other teams have blanked and they've covered out the bench issues. But they're not players that I want moving forward. And so, yes, I could hold them through to game week 34 and they could sit on my bench and not cause that many problems, and I could wildcard then. But I'm quite hopeful now that we've seen the FA Cup results go the way that they are. You can kind of guesstimate where the games are going to go and which game weeks are going to go in, particularly when we're talking about the guys that are still in the Champions League or the Europa League, because there's only so many weeks they can slot into. So I thought, actually, why not try and make the most of that wildcard chip and get as many game weeks as possible with the team? Yes, it's a lot further out from the bench boost than I would have ideally liked, because I'm planning to do that in game week 37. But really, with one or two transfers in the build up to that, you can get to a really good bench boost team that you set up now and just tweak it towards that final couple of game weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting because there's so many chips that people still haven't used. In fact, 81% of people still have their bench boost chip. Not too surprised by that because everyone's waiting for these doubles that Sam's talking of. 75% of people still have their second wildcard, so 3/4 of managers. 60% of people still have their triple captain. I'm jealous. 59% of people still have their free chip. Equally as jealous, won't take much to get above 15 or 16 points, will it? Jules, just to confirm, you're wildcarding as well.
Yeah, that was the plan after deadening the team for game 21. Yeah, I've played it as well. Yeah, I've got a few drafts. I think it's a fascinating one to play, really. If you can wait, if your team is looking good after your free hit, for example, and wait for 33 or 34 like Sam wanted to do initially. If you don't, and if you're like us playing it now, I think it's really exciting to play because there's a few strategy within the strategy that you can use. You can load up already on Arsenal. I mean, Chelsea will have three games. Chelsea have obviously a lot of games in hand. We'll have a lot of games in hand with the FA Cup. City will have two, Spurs will have a few as well. So you can already load up on Liverpool, Chelsea, City, Arsenal, and this is your team. You can go a bit different because there are teams like Bournemouth, Fulham who have some decent fixtures coming up, certainly the next two, so 30 and 31. And don't load up too much on heavy players from heavy teams. So there's different ways you can go, and there's still time before 34 and 37 to tweak it with transfers regardless. So I think right now it's a good time. I think it's international break, so you don't have to rush. You don't have to be ready for Saturday, for example, or Friday. You can take your time, watch a bit of international football, see who's in form with their countries, who might get injured or not, and then you'll have plenty of time to pick the strategy you want. So either you load up on big players and big teams, or you go a bit more kind of varied and pick maybe Wolves, Fulham, Mooney, Solanke, all of that, because they've got decent fixtures coming up, but still having the core of your wild card heavy on big players and big teams.
Okay, so currently there are 48,015 wildcard chips active. That is as of Thursday morning. That will go up because, as Jules said, it's international break. There's plenty of time. I am not one of those 48,015 as it stands. I'm comfortable. I did what Sam did. I had a train journey home on Saturday night and I sat and I thought, actually, I'm pretty comfortable with my team for one more week at least. I also understand the benefits of wildcarding in an international break, but recently I've had quite bad luck doing that, it feels like. So I want to wait another week because I feel like luck is against me at the moment. But by the end of this podcast, who knows, I could have hit the button. Let's go through then and try and build a wildcard squad by position. I'm really intrigued by both of your teams. Should we start, sorry, Sam, with goalkeepers? The only way is up.
Oh, surely the only way is up. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think with goalkeepers, that's almost the place where your strategy, if you've got a bench boost chip left, the goalkeepers is almost the place where the strategy is the most important, because knowing where you want to play the bench boost and then picking your second goalkeeper as somebody who you know is going to double in that week is important. So what we do know already is that Brighton, Chelsea, Man City, Manchester United, Newcastle and Spurs cannot have a double in 34. So those teams will probably have their double later in 37, potentially. Some could go into 35 or 36 if it's not affecting a team that plays in Europe. But most of them will go a bit later. So at that point, they become teams that I am kind of more looking at when it comes to a second goalkeeper. I think I'm going to go Raya as my first choice goalkeeper. I just think it makes sense. I think when you look at the Arsenal fixtures and the fact that Arsenal will double in the coming weeks, they seem to be a good team to kind of target defensively. And when I was looking at my team and how I would treble up on Arsenal, I found it really hard to get two attacking Arsenal assets in. So getting two defensive ones makes sense. And over the weeks ahead of, obviously, Arsenal didn't have a fixture last week, and then Raya couldn't play against Brentford in game week 28. But when you look at the six games that he played prior to that, he had an XGC, so expected goals conceded, of just 1.9. The next best, to put that into context, was Manchester City at 6.8. So significantly less expected goals conceded. And when you're looking at goalkeepers, that's what you want. You want them to hopefully provide you with some upside with saves, but mostly you want them to keep clean sheets. And Ray has been the one that's most likely to do that in the weeks that have been normal recently. So I think I'm going to go with him. And then I'm going to wait until we have, hopefully, some rearranged fixtures to decide on my second one. At the moment, it's still Areola, just because he's the cheapest. But he won't have a double game week. So I do want to get a second goalkeeper that doubles to sit in that spot, because at that point where I bench boost, I know I've got the extra fixture and I don't have to make another goalkeeper change between now and the end of the season.
Jules, what about you?
Yeah, I think that's all really fair and good. The only thing I'd say about Raya, who is in one of my drafts, is that I really like the Ben White pick. So I think Saliba is a must-have for me, as you know. And then Saka too. So the third Arsenal player will probably be between Raya and White. So it depends if you want to go for a defender like White, who is only 5.7 million and can bring you attacking returns as well, than just defensive if you get a clean sheet, for example. Or if you want to go for Raya, I like the Onana pick a lot. I know it sounds a little bit weird because United haven't been great, but Onana is the second best goalkeeper in the game behind Leno. Areola is third. It's Leno and
That's
Onana
mad,
first.
Isn't it? Yeah.
It's really, I mean, not by much, because there are 105 points to Areola, 104 points. So there's not much in it, and there's not much in it for keepers this season anyway. But Onana has secretly, and especially since AFCON, done really well. So I think Onana 4.8, which is the same price as a Leno, for example, and who will have a double, Onana and United, is maybe not a bad shout.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because I wouldn't have even thought, but then I haven't really looked at a wild card.
I guess the only thing is, at 4.8, the second goalkeeper, if you're putting them in the second slot, it's quite expensive to spend 4.8 on a second goalkeeper if your first
one is...
Areola
can be your first pick, and then
it could, yeah,
second.
Yeah. So you, but then Areola doesn't have a double. So no, I guess true. It depends on your strategy for the bench boost, doesn't it? And this is where I think the goalkeepers become the most contentious issue almost with the wildcard team. A lot of it picks itself, but that second goalie spot very much depends on where you're going to play your bench boost and if you've still got it left.
Can I also ask you both for your team value, because that will also have a big bearing as well, where you're currently at, because some managers, if you've had successful transfers, might be on 104 million or 103, roughly like that. But if you've not had such a good season and maybe you've not beaten the price rise, it could be closer to 100. And if you've had a terrible season, it's probably below 100, but that would have to be really bad. Jules, what's yours?
103.8, Kelly.
Okay. Sam?
Mine's 105.3.
Wow. Mm. Okay, that's so that gives you 1.5 million more than Jules to play with.
Yeah, talent and planning, Kelly.
Yeah, and vision. I've added vision to my motto.
Not going
to
lie though, Sam, I'd probably rather have the points on the
know,
board
so
rather than the
I.
money in the bank.
100% so would I. But I think the other thing is that's why the early part of the season is important in some ways, for just gaining the rank and playing wild cards at those moments where you can improve your team value, because it means by this wild card, you can kind of play with it a little bit more. But you're right to ask that question, because that's really important. If you've got more in your team value, then having a more expensive second goalkeeper is a viable strategy.
That's literally the difference, isn't it? Like 1.5 million enables you to go from a 4.5 million to a premium goalkeeper.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, let's try defenders now. So Jules has already revealed he's potentially doing the Arsenal defensive double up, Jules.
Yes, Saliba, White, I think... Again, you have to be careful always, because as we say, and it's so obvious, but we have to repeat it, that if Arsenal concede one goal, then obviously for both White and Saliba, those points are gone. So it is risky. It's risky for any team. But White has been quality, really. If you points for value, or value for money, sorry, it's incredible. Saliba, as you know, is my boy, so he has to be in there contractually. but then after that, there's again a lot of interesting things you can do with your wild cards, whether you want to go on big teams and big players. So Kyle Walker, for example, I think is a decent shot for City. Malo Gusto certainly is a must-have in your wild card from a Chelsea point of view. Even if Chelsea games are tough games, they're still those games in hand for Chelsea, and he's done so well going forward, especially Conor Bradley. Unless Trent comes back, I think Conor Bradley, at the price that he is, even if he stays on your bench, it doesn't matter so much. He's one to have in your wildcard team. But you could also look at Robinson at Fulham, for example. Fulham will also have a double at some point. And he has the potential, I think, to do really, really well. Castagne is another one. We mentioned him for, obviously, game week 29. So I think there's a lot of really good options defensively.
Yeah, Sam, what about you? What have you whittled it down to?
So I actually do agree with a lot of what Jules just said there, irritatingly. I've got Saliba, but then at the moment I've got Raya as my Arsenal double up. So that's where that comes from. I've also, on the Sven Botman news yesterday, brought Jamal Lassell back into my team because I think at 3.9 million, he sits at that Charlie Taylor price point, who, you know, he's not going to double again before the end of the season, but Newcastle will. And the Newcastle fixtures are really nice. So if you sort the fixture ticket by difficulty, they sit second behind Brentford. This is before we've had the doubles and stuff added in, but run of fixtures in there, particularly those last four game weeks when we'd be looking at potential bench boosts, where you would expect there to be some clean sheets coming for Newcastle. So at 3.9, he can sit on the bench quite happily. I don't have to play him unless I want to, but then he can come into the team for the bench boost. And in the weeks where some of my more expensive defenders have difficult matches, I can move him into the team. Like even this week, for example, when Saliba's got Manchester City, I could just play Lascelles instead. So all of that kind of strategy has to come into it. And I think the rest of mine, I've got Gusto in there because I think unless we get news that Reece James is suddenly going to appear back in the starting 11, Gusto looks like a fantastic pick. I've kept Udogie for now with the plan that he'll swap out for a Manchester City defender over the coming weeks. But obviously for game week 30, I want to make sure that my team has got some good potential for returns. And defensively, I'm not sure that having a Manchester City defender against Arsenal is exactly the way I want to go. So I'm going to start with a Spurs defender for the next couple and then swap over as we get a few game weeks down the line. And then I'm keeping Zabani as well because Bournemouth will double. He can sit on the bench until I need that. And I'll play, hopefully, if the fixtures fall the way I'm hoping, I'll be able to then have him come on for a double game week from the bench.
So Sam, your defenders are...
Currently, Udogie, Gusto, Zabani, Saliba and Lascelles.
Jules?
So I've got one, Saliba, White, Walker, Gusto and Bradley. There's another one that I like, Saliba, Robinson, Walker, Gusto and Bradley.
Okay, some favourites in there, but a couple of differentials. Now let's go on to midfielders, because this is where I'm going to get jealous. And to be honest, the midfield was a large part of the reason why I potentially could wildcard. I don't think I will. Who have you gone for? Sam, you go first this time. Let me guess. Hold on. Mo Salah.
Yeah.
Mo Salah's going to be a massive reason why loads of people are wildcarding, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Like, let's be honest. Saka, you've kept Saka?
Yeah.
Oh, I've set myself up here. Foden?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Neither for me.
Okay.
There's a plan for there's a plan for Foden, though.
I'm not going to play this guessing game. Just tell us who your midfielders are.
So Salah and Saka, at the moment it's Son, with the plan that in 2 weeks' time...
Why did I not guess that? Spurs fans, Son in form.
Well, with the plan that in 2 game weeks' time, I will downgrade Son to Foden, have Foden for the rest of the season, and then that money that I've saved will be the money that I need to upgrade some of the bench players ahead of the bench boost. That's the plan. Cole Palmer, I think, is absolutely essential. And then at the moment, the fifth spot I've given to Anthony Gordon because Newcastle will have doubles, the fixtures are nice. Depending upon how rescheduled fixtures go, if they go the way I'm hoping, I might be able to do Garnacho for his doubles and then swap him for Gordon for his doubles and do it that way. But I think that cheaper price point works quite nicely. So eventually, the long-term plan is that some will be Foden and I won't have a Spurs attacker, which as Spurs fans, pretty horrible. But I think that those midfield five spots, they're just so important. Palmer, Salah and Saka pick themselves. The other two, I think you can have a bit more fun with.
So you've gone Palmer, Gordon, Salah, Saka, Son.
Yes.
That makes me feel a bit better because I've got Palmer, Gordon and Saka. So don't need to wildcard. No, I'm joking. Jules, what about you? There was a lot of nodding in agreement with Sam. Yeah, which is rare on this pod.
Yeah, the three, Palmer, Saka, Salah, just pick themselves, really. It's really easy. Yeah. Then it's what you do with the next two. As you know, I love my Rodri pick that got me those points when he doubles. Aww. And I think, again, he does well in big games. He will get, I think this is the time where City are going to be very good. And I expect Rodrigo to be very good too. So you can have Rodri there. So you can play, again, in your strategy, within your strategy. You can go Gross Also, Brighton will have some doubles and will play. And I think Gross at 6.5 is a really, really good differential and player. He's a player that Sam has loved all season. And sometimes he returns, sometimes he doesn't. When she puts him on the bench, he returns. And when she, when she plays him, he doesn't.
But she's getting rid of him now.
Well, she shouldn't.
For now, he can't double in 34. So because he can't double in 34, he's not there at the moment. He might be by the time I bench boost.
Yeah, so I think even if, let's be honest, the fifth pick in your midfield is going to sit on your bench anyway.
Yes,
so
exactly.
You can have Gross if you want there until his double is, which could be 35, by the way, or should be 35. So then Son, Foden, like Rodri, like we said, Gordon is a good shot. You can also look at Bowen, Kudus, those kind of players that we expect to return Madison. But let's keep in mind that some won't have a double game week between now and the end of the season. So it depends. We've said enough on the show through the whole season. It's not just about the double game week, and the single game weeker can do really well as well, just with one game in the weekend. So don't be too obsessed with the double game week. There's a lot of options for the remaining two spots in your five-man midfield outside of Saka, Salah and Palmer.
I think I'm going to have it written into my contract that I can't be on this podcast before or after double game weeks, because we all get lured in. Jules, you can say it there and we can say it 100 times.
True.
That, don't get too excited, the single game week players outscore them. But we all get sucked in.
Yeah.
Kels, have you got a plan for Salah? If you're not going to wild card?
She doesn't.
I do. Salah is the only reason why I will wild card now. So I have got De Bruyne still and I don't want him long term. I can take a minus, and I've still got Jota, who's just been sitting as third sub. So I can take a -4.
That was my original plan.
Yeah.
To do
that's And that's probably what I'm on, because the rest of my team, sorry, not trying to make this all about me. I don't want someone reviewing us on Apple Podcasts again and saying I make it about me, but I'm going to make this about me because the rest of the pod's been about you guys. The rest of my team, I don't hate. Like, I don't love, but I don't hate. I need a new goalkeeper eventually because Dubravka is not going to keep his place forever, but I'm all right with him at the moment. Zabani, happy to keep him, brought him in for Bournemouth's double. Gusto, happy to keep him at the moment. Gabriel, I don't want to play him this week, but he's an Arsenal defender. Eventually, I would like him to become Ben White. I've also got Alex Moreno and of course, Charlie Taylor. My midfield is Palmer, Gordon, Saka, De Bruyne and Jota. But again, De Bruyne and Jota I can play with to get them into who I want them to be. Haaland, Watkins, Solanke are my front three. So I'm all right this week. And I do need to sit and go through in even more detail, but I think I'm okay.
You don't have many players who will double.
So I will play it. But I want to find a little bit more out about when the doubles are going to be scheduled in. Yeah, and also, you know what I'm like, I like to hold on to a wild card as long as possible. That's just what I do. Also, if I'm really honest, I've got a really busy international break work-wise. Bear in mind, I don't work a great deal. I have to do quite a lot of work over the next week. So I'm just a bit like, do I have the mental capacity? Because I do have a child as well these days as well, which I have to factor in. Anyway, off my team. Sam, we've done midfield. Jules, just run over who your midfielders will be then.
So, I mean, again, this...
We know you're going to change 37 million times.
Yes.
Yeah, so and we Palmer, also know Saka, that whatever Salah, you tell us will be totally different by the time the deadline passes.
We'll check in with it again next week.
Yeah,
it'll still be different to game week 30.
Don't forget talent, vision and planning.
Wow.
Just tell me where you're currently at. That was the original question.
I've got Salah, Saka, Palmer, Gross and Foden on one. And one with Son and Rodri on the other. So
you have changed. Never before would you have had so many drafts. This success has come to your head, hasn't it? Yeah, but before you'd have been doing it on the Friday night before the Saturday deadline.
I just have to
put somewhere. Exactly. You know, I need to finish as high as possible.
And we want you to as well, although it's painful.
Do we?
Thank you. I know you do. Super
I don't know. I've just decided I'm never going to beat him, so I'm going to have to try it. If you can't beat him, join him, isn't it? Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
Go on then, Jules, tell me your forwards.
So this is where it gets even more interesting, I think, the forward, because again, there's different things that you can do. One, and Kelly, you said, you can have Haaland, Watkins, Solanke. This is solid. Watkins has been an outstanding player in the game all season, right? Or you can think, he's not going to double. So you can go, for example, I've got one draft with Haaland has to be there. And then Solanke, Muniz, which already Solanke and Muniz have two really good fixtures coming up. So Bournemouth have Everton and Palace, Fulham have Sheffield United and Forest 30-31. So already you look, Haaland, Solanke and Muniz, you can't, in terms of fixtures, I know Haaland has Arsenal, obviously, in 30, but he's Haaland, so you have to have him. The other two are probably the best strikers. If you look at form and fixtures, you can't. I don't think you can do better than Solanke and Muniz for the next two game weeks. So you can go like that, or you can go Haaland, Nico Jackson and Darwin, for example. Or you know all of them are going to have double between now and 34, 37, all of that. So already be ready for that. And Nico Jackson, for all the flaws that he has also been in decent form, to be fair, lately. And this Chelsea team, as unpredictable as they are, can produce on good days too. So even if Jackson is on your bench, you don't have to start him all the time because you'll have a very strong midfield five. Jackson, Darwin and Haaland also could make a lot of sense.
Yeah, Muniz is haunting me from the last game week, but I agree.
I mean, Sheffield United
me too,
for Fulham.
More ways than one.
Brilliant pick and also brilliant price for us,
yeah,
to enable
exactly,
the rest of our team
right.
on a wild card.
Yeah,
Sam,
yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I've got him as well, and Haaland. And I've actually kept Watkins rather than Solanke at the
I
moment.
I knew you would. You love Watkins.
I do seem to have a bit of an obsession with Ollie Watkins. I can't lie. Yeah, so I've kept Watkins, mostly because I get what George was saying about Solanke, but his form's actually really dipped recently. He's not been as good in the recent weeks. And we obviously
had
in
his last game.
Double.
That's what I meant. Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and I take that, but I look at Bournemouth with the fixtures that they have, and I think, all right, the next couple of weeks are really nice because obviously after that Crystal Palace game, they also have Luton. So they have got nice fixtures in the next three. Then I look at Ollie Watkins, who I think is much more capable of the double-digit return. So yes, we might get blanks, but we also might get absolute hauls. And when I'm wildcarding, there's an element of, how much risk do you take versus how many players do you hold that are heavily owned and would massively hurt rank if you sold them? And there aren't that many this season that I think if I got rid of you, it would massively hurt my rank. Like most of those players are actually players that I wouldn't get rid of anyway. It's the likes of Saka and Haaland. They'd hurt your rank if you sold them, but you're not going to sell them. So unless they're injured, you're going to keep them. Ollie Watkins for me kind of falls into that camp. He's heavily owned. He's got multiple opportunities between now and the end of the season to get an absolute haul. The only thing he doesn't have is a double game week. So when I look at the fixtures over the coming weeks, particularly in game week 30, he's got a nice fixture against Wolves. After that, then it's a bit more mixed because it's the Man City
more
game,
mixed.
Then Brentford, then Arsenal. So I would, with Brentford, I think is fine. Man City
yeah,
and
but
Arsenal.
City away,
you know.
And Arsenal away. That's
yeah, but,
two
that,
of the
but
next,
that's my point.
Two of his next four games.
Yeah, but that's kind of my point, is that I like him for the game against Wolves, but then the three after I'm not so keen to hold him for. But I would quite like Darwin Nunes at that point as a bit
Darwin
of a fun
time.
Differential.
Yeah, hold might on, Jules, where's Darwin in
your
wild
card? My second draft, Haaland, Darwin and Nico Jackson.
Yeah. And you know, when you look at the Liverpool fixtures, it's, I don't know what you're saying about Solanke, but Liverpool have got Brighton, Sheffield United, Manchester United, Palace, Fulham. And then at points, there's going to be doubles in there. So there's a really nice opportunity, I think, for doubling up on the Liverpool attack with Darwin. But I don't know if I want to do that straight away, because I do quite fancy Ollie Watkins against Wolves in a bit of a derby. That feels like a nice fixture. So maybe I might just give Watkins that one more week and then move him on at that point just to kind of play that fixture.
Yeah, that's it's tough, isn't it? Because you've got to look at the fixtures, but also the form. And we've seen that Ollie Watkins can return. It feels a bit foolish for me. That's part of the reason I'm not wildcarding this week as well, because I don't want to get rid of him. But I probably will get rid of him on my wildcard, like Jules is going to, I think. I want him this week.
And
that's the problem with wild card, they can punish you in the short term. So Sam, confirm your three forwards.
I mean, it's Haaland and Watkins right now.
That is the least convincing response you've ever given me on this podcast.
Yeah. The Watkins slot, it could be Solanke. I don't want it to be Solanke. I don't know.
Watkins feels more exciting than Solanke, doesn't it?
Don't forget it, they're in Europe as well.
Yeah,
so
I know,
now you're getting down
Jules
to the
is
really
not
crunch
on the
time.
Watkins.
No, it's not that, because I like him a lot. And like we've said, he's been so good for the game, goals and assists, everything. And to be fair, so have Aston Villa as well. I'm just thinking, I was very disappointed by the West Ham game from a Watkins point of view.
Yeah, me too.
Not just because, you know, he didn't return, but overall, I was very disappointed by his game against Spurs. And we talk about form. Okay, he scored against Ajax. I would have scored against Ajax and Jordan Henderson. But so it's one goal in his last four for Watkins. So it's not like if he was in the form that he'd been at some point earlier in the season. He picked up a slight injury against Ajax again in the Europa League. He played against West Ham. I don't know if he was fully fit, if he was in pain or not. He was not very good. And I think we get to this time in the season where the pressure would be so high on Villa for the top four, but also in Europe, when you get to the quarterfinal, they play Lille home and away over 1 week. So there's not even a week to rest in between. So I don't know. I think there will be a lot of managers like us who will be debating Watkins, what to do with Watkins, really, because there are so many great options as a forward in your team, especially if you play wildcard. If you're like you, Kelly, right now, this is not a priority for you. Watkins is great in your team. He's got plenty of potential. He's a very good player in a very good team. So, and they play Wolves. So, okay.
But Jules, I would say that Watkins' fixtures that you've mentioned, and rightfully so, and Europe and everything, is playing on my mind. So that is a reason that I won't wait too long to wildcard.
No, but like
Sam said,
probably
will come next week. Will come in 31, but I'm happy with him this week.
The other thing is that I've got 0.4 of value in Watkins. So if I sell him, it's going to cost me 0.4 million if I decide I want to buy him back. So it has to be, to make the decision to sell Watkins, I have to be absolutely certain that I do not want to get him back again, or as far as I can be, because that's going to mean a massive sacrifice elsewhere. Because at the moment, my wildcard squad has nothing in the bank. Like, Son is the cash, I guess, to upgrade other players. But there's kind of future plans in play for where that money will eventually go. So spending an extra 0.4 on Ollie Watkins is not something that I'm budgeting for. So I do want to have him for this game against Wolves. After that, then I'm much more prepared to sell him, because as Joel says, you've got the European fixtures that kick in, you've got all of that stuff that comes with it. But right now, if I sell Watkins, I'm basically saying that for the next 9 game weeks, he's not part of my plans. And I'm not, at this moment, without the fixtures rescheduled, I'm not at that point where I want to say that yet.
Okay, so Sam, you guys are wildcarding this week. I've said I'm probably going to wildcard, I think probably in 31. Depends when we get more information, but Watkins and players like that, I think I will be ready to part ways with at that point. If managers aren't wildcarding, like myself, when would you recommend, Sam?
Oh, good question. So I think it depends on what chips you've got left. If you've got both your bench boost and your free hit left, then the reality is you're probably going to use them in 34 and 37. That means you probably want to look at the wildcard in and around either game week 33 to prep you for game week 34, if that's going to be your bench boost week, or you play it a bit later and do it in 35, 36 if your bench boost is going to be in 37. But if you don't have Salah and getting him's going to cost you -4, -8, then I'd look at doing it sooner rather than later. So if you've already set up your team, so you've got, you know, a Spurs asset for the game against Luton, you feel like your team is manageable for this week, then 31, 32, probably. I think we'll see a lot of wild cards being played in 31 as people look to get back on Arsenal, Manchester City assets after they play each other.
There's a really good article on the Premier League website, actually, where all of the experts, including Sam, have been asked their plans for playing chips. There is a couple of, there's 3 wildcarders this week. There's a few with question marks by their names, as Phillips being one of them. I'm intrigued by the other half of FPL Family's plan, though, because he's got a wildcard with a question mark in 32, 33, 34 and 35. How many wildcards does the Phil Family have?
He only has one.
He has unlimited wildcard. No, he doesn't. His team is really interesting because it actually looks quite nice. Like, he's got double Spurs in his team already because he's held Richarlison through. He did what he did with Haaland when Haaland was injured, and he held him for all that time. He did the same with Richarlison. He's just been sitting on his bench throughout the injury. So he's got a lot of Spurs assets heading into the game against Luton. He's got a plan for Salah this week as well. So he's kind of like, I don't think I need it. And he doesn't think he's going to need it for the next couple of weeks either. It's nice to be in that position, I think. So I suspect that he'll end up playing it much closer to game week 34, because obviously now the free hit chip's gone. It might be that when we know what the fixtures in 34 look like, that he plays it then, and then he plays his bench boost in 37. I suspect that's how he's going. But to be honest, he's not talking to me about it too much, because I think he's worried I might catch him.
Who's ahead at the moment?
He is, obviously. Kelly, everyone's ahead of me at the moment.
Yeah, that's not hard.
Well, I was going to say that if Lee's behind you, wowzers. No, I'm joking. just taking a look.
Oh, even your friend.
Oh, that was more savage than Jules is normally.
I was having a little look at what some of the other experts are doing because, as we know, I'm a bit of an FPL sheep, but I do like to see what people's plans are and their reasonings behind it. It does, of course, massively depend on what your team looks like because everyone's is so different at the stage of the season. Harry, who's had some brilliant success in FPL in recent seasons, is potentially keeping his wild card, but it hasn't even got a question mark next to it, for 35. That feels very late, but can you understand why some people would do that?
Yeah, because actually Harry's team is nice. It's got a lot of the players that we were just talking about are already in his team. And if you're maybe one or two players shy of that, you can quite easily get them in with just your free transfers between now and then. And I think if you've got your free hit and you're planning to use that in 34, then a wild card in 35 makes perfect sense because at that point we know exactly how the season's going to pan out in terms of where those fixtures are going to go. It means your bench boost is set perfectly for 37. And it also means that we are that much closer to the end of the season to knowing who's still in a title race, if there is still one, who's still in the race for the European football, who is in the kind of chase to stay in the Premier League, and the teams that are, as we would say, on the beach. So you can kind of then avoid the teams that you think maybe have less to play for. You can target the teams that have got more to play for. We maybe get some more differentials that come into it in the teams that are kind of finished for the season, who, you know, start to field some slightly different picks. And it is quite nice having a wild card. I know you like to do it, Kel, and it is quite nice to play the wild card late, but you have to be cautious of how many hits am I taking to get the likes of Salah? Because if you're talking about lots of hits and lots of changes and big sacrifices, then maybe actually just playing the wild card is the better thing. But if you can do it with one or two transfers here or there, then hold it as long as you can.
And also, something that I have fallen foul of before is playing a wild card too late. And then realising that if I'd played that wild card 2 weeks before, I'd have got more points out of those players.
Yeah.
So it's the balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
Definitely. And I think that's part of the reason why I did what I did on Saturday night, because I'd already written a team. If I wild carded in 30, going into 34, what would it look like? And I had that kind of written out on a piece of paper. And then I thought, actually, is it that different? And like I said, it was like one or two players different. So in reality, one or two players are easily changeable by the time you get to game week 34, 35 anyway. So why not just play it now and then benefit from having those players in for five additional weeks rather than just the final four?
I haven't yet wildcarded, guys, but there is still a lot of time.
You're tempted. I know you're tempted.
I'm always tempted. There's part of me that thinks I should just use it, just get it out of the way so I'm not every week wondering if I should do it. But
what will we even do if you've not got chips left for the end of the season? This will be unprecedented.
Oh, yeah. And we'll probably all end up bench boosting in the same week as well. So, okay, I'll keep the wild card for the sake of the pod. There we go. always doing it for the team. No guarantees I will actually do that. Yeah, a lot to think about for everyone, I think. And this is what we said to Jules a few weeks ago. This is the most crucial point of the season. You can have been having a brilliant time so far, or you could have been having an awful time. Your chip strategy is so, so important. So, Jules, I expect more drafts by next week, but no, we expect more certainty by next week.
Yeah, by next week, we'll have a better idea, me and Sam and all the wildcarders, of what you're going to do for game week 30.
Well, what are you guys doing? Anything fun planned during the break, Jules? How many games are you going to be flying around taking in games?
France, Germany, and France, Chile in Lyon and Marseille for me.
Nice.
And then a lot of international football to watch.
Once again, the Laurent's children neglected.
For sure, as always.
Sam, what about you?
No, I am not going to neglect my children. I'll be here with them. I'll be watching most of them on the TV and hoping that. What am I hoping for? On wildcard, this kind of, isn't it? There's that moment where you go, well, you know, if somebody was out for a couple of weeks, I could go for some differentials.
Yeah, to be fair, that's a really good point as well, though, for me. If a couple of my team get injured over the next few days, we could be having a very different podcast next week.
Yeah,
we could be seeing a lot more, 48,000 wildcard chips active. I reckon by next week, we're going to see at least, what do you reckon, Sam? 60,000 this time next week?
More than that.
More than that. Over 100, yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. It's gone up 20,000 in 2 days. This week.
Okay. All right. I would have gone a bit higher than just 12,000 more if I'd known that. I'm not across these systems, so I didn't realise. Anyway, we think that a lot more of you listening, I would love to know from the start of the podcast, the end of the podcast, how many wildcards are activated. because I bet people listen, like me, listen and go, oh yeah, actually I would like them. Oh yeah. And also we're all going to get the fear, aren't we? I know I'm going to get the fear.
You definitely will. By next week, we'll be on this pod.
Both of us will be talking about. I'm not sheep. I don't, well guys, best of luck sorting those wild cards out. Enjoy watching all of the international football. Enjoy seeing / neglecting your children. I'm doing a bit of both. I'm joking. A reminder, if you do want to join the FPL Pod Mini League during the break, the code is IB3WLK. We will be back next week. Of course, there's no off the bench because there's no Premier League games this weekend. So the next thing that will drop into your feed will be us back with you next Thursday with a Game Week 30 preview. We'll talk about the international fixtures, the impact they've had on FPL, and hopefully these guys will be a bit more certain about their teams and I'll have probably still not decided if I'm going to wildcard. So do join us then, guys. Have a good break and we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.